Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host, the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 578 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week is the start of our coverage of the 42nd annual Humana Festival of New American Plays, hosted by Actors Theatre of Louisville. Again, I'm doing a gig here in town in Nashville, so I have my roving band of intrepid reporters, T. Quillen and Mark Cabus, on site for me. And they bring me back the episodes and the interviews. And first up this week is You Across From Me, which happens to be the Apprentice Showcase. And that is written by Jacqueline Backhouse, Dipkia Gua, Brian Otano, and Jason Gray Platt. And I'm sorry if I butchered those names. Directed by Jessica Fish. So our guests this week are some of the apprentices. So I'm going to let T and Mark lead you into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the hosting donations accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
So here we are with the cast, or part of the cast, of You Across From Me. And this is the Apprentice Company show, so I'm going to let you guys just sort of introduce yourselves, whatever order you want to go in. Ladies first, probably, maybe?
I guess that's nice.
Hi, I'm Emily Kleypas. I'm playing Lillian Natalka and One in the show.
Nice.
I'm Marika Proctor, and I am playing Mabel and Christine.
My name is Najib Felix, and I'm playing Rembrandt, Claire, and Boy 2.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. That's quite the range, right? So, talk a little bit about the Apprentice Company for a second and what this show represents. These are wide open questions. Whoever wants to take these.
For those people that don't know anything about it,
yeah.
So we can kind of give them a defining idea.
So, what is the Apprentice Company?
It's more than 20. It's just 20 actors, but that's not all that the PTC is. Right. It's about 40 of us who come from all over the country to come and apprentice here at Actors for 9 months. And so this our Humana time is sort of the culmination of those 9 months where we've been crewing and managing and producing and casting and all the various disciplines of theater. There's an apprentice for it, which is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I went through and counted everything. I'm like, they have dramaturgy apprentices.
Do.
That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And so now we've kind of spent the season getting our feet wet and learning. And then the Humana Festival is sort of the great crux of it. I don't know, crush of craziness.
Sure. And so, and it culminates in the performance of a devised piece, I guess is the way to word that, really, with a gaggle of, is that what you call a group of playwrights? Is it a gaggle? A gaggle of playwrights?
More than two.
More than two is a gaggle. Yep. Okay, good.
Cohort.
Good. Yeah, a cohort of playwrights. Good. And so how was that process for you guys, working with the playwrights and whatnot?
We started back in August, which is crazy. And our director, Jess Fish, was actually pregnant at the time, and then by the time we were done, she had a 6-month-old. So that's how
and a new play.
Is that fairly common for working on the apprentice? No, I'm just kidding.
yes, comes with a baby.
Yeah, come with a baby.
There you go.
Yeah, Humana baby. But yeah, so we got to work with the playwrights a handful of times. They came in, I think 3 times in all to work with us. And I had never devised anything before. I don't know about you guys.
Kind of. I did a show where we're just. I've never devised anything. I don't know what I'm saying.
It is early.
But it was really cool.
April Fools.
that's it. There you go.
Great. That's everyone.
There it is.
We came. It was the second week we were here, so it's really interesting because we. Most of us didn't know each other, and the first week we worked with a theater group called the Mad Ones, and then the second week it's now we're devising a piece together, and the director basically had prompts for us. We had the idea of coming to the table, mm-hmm. Which is a theme, and then she split us into groups, and we devised it, gave us some sort of prompt, and then the writers would watch each of our what we come up with, and then they would get inspired and then come back a few months later with a bunch of plays, short things they've had. And then there, we whittled it down to what would, I guess, would fit into the larger piece. And then we did all casting and things like that.
How close to, from what I read of the material, it was you guys all talked about stories, about sitting around a table and what all that meant. Any stories that ended up actually on stage, on its feet, that you can remember that started off back in August, September?
Yeah. The culmination of the last piece, Foosball.
The Foosball.
We actually worked on that together. And
you and Emily.
Yeah.
How nice.
It was crazy. It was a crazy piece. And
It was hilariously funny.
Yeah. Oh, so you guys got to see it.
Oh, yes. Okay, we saw it. We saw it, Friday night?
Friday night, yeah. Friday first night we were here.
It's been a bit of a blur, but yeah.
Which is so funny because they even small parts, there's this, it sadly had to get cut, but there's this this commercial guy that came in at the end that they wanted me to do, and it was hilarious, and we were all trying different parts and allowing a lot of us to, even though I did the part in the device piece, everyone's trying to get a hand. I remember I was like, all right, it's my turn. It's my thing. And then I was going to go up and Marika's like, I'll give it a try. I'm like, all right. And then she goes in and kills it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have it.
And you don't even get it. That's a secret for all of us in the background.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, the audition process, what was that like for you guys for the Apprentice Company to get to where you are, to get here?
Apparently about 2,000 people audition for the apprenticeship, and the process is kind of 3-step. You audition in whatever city you're in. I auditioned in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Then at the audition or shortly after, you hear back. I actually had like a callback situation. So I sent in a video after that. And then you get an email that's like, you're 1 of 100, you know? And,
nice.
And
from we've here, broken we'll, it down.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the way you would apply to a grad school, except backwards. Like, you don't send in your statement of purpose and everything until you're in that 100 people.
Oh. Okay.
And then from there, you send in letters of recommendation and your statement, and they whittle it down to 20 from 100.
Where did you guys audition?
I found out about the apprenticeship back in last year in January. So I wasn't very familiar with Actors Theater. Mm-hmm. I didn't do an undergrad in theater. So it was very new to me. And the week before, I found out about it a week before the auditions were in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a friend here that came last year, and I waited until March for Humana Festival to come last year and audition. So I auditioned right here.
Oh, okay. Oh,
right, which was really cool. I mean, see the theater and sure. I saw a few plays as nice. Well. So it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I auditioned in Chicago. I'm from Minneapolis, okay. where they actually also audition. But
Minneapolis. I'm raised in Minneapolis.
Oh, hooray!
I can't take you anywhere. I got so excited.
Yeah.
I pulled my headphones
down. It's very exciting.
Can you hear yourself?
No, not a thing.
How about now?
Nope. There we go. I'm back. Hello.
Okay. Yay. Yay. Awesome. So Minneapolis. Yeah. Don't do that again.
I won't do it again.
All right. Awesome. Cool.
Where did you all go to school?
There you go.
Let us know where you went. Where did you go to school?
I went to Penn State.
Cool. All right. Awesome. And you said you were not a theater major.
Yeah, psychology.
Oh, right on. Well, that's practically a theater major.
It's like the same thing, right?
It is. Yeah. It pretty much is the same thing, yeah.
I was an English undergrad at the University of Puget Sound, which is a small liberal arts college in Washington State.
Wow, okay.
And I went to Emory in Atlanta, and I majored in business with another major in playwriting, actually.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And that's where we met each other.
Yes. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's good.
Now, Emily and I did The Cherry Orchard for Theater Emory.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Emily knows everyone.
Check out. See, Emily does know everyone.
There's always one.
Little center of the universe right there.
Right here.
There
we go. Right
there's
here.
Always one. I want to talk one. Well, the one last thing I want to talk about really well. Do we have enough? Yeah, we got plenty
sure,
of that. We can talk about all kinds of stuff.
So
I lied. It's not going to be the one last thing. I want to talk about the sort of pantomime piece that was the falling table. the Keystone Cops piece is what I kept referring to. It was essentially that. It was physical comedy. Talk about devising that. And was it you two that devised it, or was it
Marika? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how did it?
I honestly think that.
Did you guys just do it that night?
And
then
yeah.
was
just
yeah.
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 It was
it. That was it.
You gave me a table and a bottle, and then that was it. A wobbly table.
A wobbly table. There were so many.
I think didn't you and Bear and Brandon do like a you did a silent.
One of our devised prompts was something about manners. And so there was a piece that we used no words. This is like in August.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of like gestures and
so
random
funny.
Sounds. And it was short. It was short. But then Jason Gray Platt, one of our playwrights, had started writing and then came back with this piece. back with this piece that essentially was like a narration. It was very specific. He has a lot of beats in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And so it wasn't like, there's a table, it goes wonky, like, have at it. It was fairly narrated, but then, once you have the thing, we spent many, many, many weeks, finally, when formal rehearsals started, figuring out just exactly how to make those beats. And some of the beats changed, some of the beats became louder, louder, as in, yeah, just how they, like, flowed together.
Sure.
A napkin became a sugar pack. I mean, you know, you just sort of and Jason was in the room for those first weeks. Anyhow.
I mean, a lot ended up changing. We worked that. This was like the version we came up with was probably the 10th, or I think it was one of the pieces that worked a lot, like Foosball and this one, because Foosball has a lot of moving parts, but this one has like, what's gonna work? What are people gonna know or see? And also, we didn't get, like, the full working table until
the week before.
Like
the
tech.
Week
before. Oh,
yeah, tech.
Like
tech.
That's such an important
element. We had a table and it tipped.
It's practically
it
another
but
character.
When it yeah.
Yeah, it is. And, like, Marika, I don't do much
you
in
do,
the play. I
oh,
do. I sit in the background a lot. And she had to, like, know what to do all the time. It was impressive. I'm just chilling there watching her do all this work. And I'm like, wine guy.
No.
Which people like,
so
but
funny.
Not
yeah,
much.
No,
the wine pouring was quite charming.
Yeah,
it was really a fun part of the scene. It looks fairly choreographed. How much of that was absolutely had to be specific, and how much room did you have to play around with it in a performance?
Great question. It is choreographed. Mm. It is totally choreographed.
It's like a dance.
It's like a dance,
okay.
Though, right? And like, so once you go, it kind of feels like one of those pieces where like, once you go, you go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just sort of like, it's tumbleweeds a little bit, you
sure.
know?
Well, there were elements. It didn't look like there was much room for error, that you had to pretty much be just exact for
because
everything.
Because when you saw it, our chair broke at the beginning.
I saw that.
Which
oh,
is like,
that was so scary. Oh.
But it was super, I mean, things like that are very instructive because in our mind, that's like the big culmination. And then he leaves and I'm alone and I sit down and boom. And it, you know, it surprises people, which is always fun. But it actually, I think, to our minds, it was so loud, but to perhaps to an audience perspective, it's just one other part of the story. And so it's like, it's like humbling to remember that the piece has an integrity, even if a beat goes wrong.
Sure.
Right. You know? Yeah. And then it does become slightly different, except for it was still about, like, things going wrong.
Right. So was the chair supposed to be used? Or was it a prop chair that you were going to
put? It's a breakaway chair. It's super good. You guys, it's like,
Well covered, because until you say that, I just thought, well, that was a really poorly made chair.
That's still good.
And it just broke. Yeah.
And I thought, didn't even pay any attention to that that was a part of the play.
Let's make a note to increase the chair budget.
Exactly. That prop department needs to step up.
Making notes.
Just a little bit.
Just saying notes. It was a wonderful cover. And to the note about it being choreographed, I mean, you know, we can sit here and watch it as, you know, as theater people, and we can watch it and go, God, that's like, it is. It's a dance, and we can appreciate the fact. But it didn't feel like it was choreographed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All of the beats and all of the every moment was natural, and every moment felt like it was born of the one previous to it, and everything, especially the pouring of the wine and then getting distracted by something and then getting. We've all. Not necessarily like that, but we've all done something where we start a thing and then get distracted by it. So it's, you know, it's really good stuff. What's next for all three of you? I mean, I know you guys have more stuff to do with the apprenticeship and all of that kind of stuff, but what happens after this? Not to put you on the spot, but, you know.
The great unknown.
Yeah. You tell me. Employ us all. No. We're all right now in the process of auditioning for multiple things and probably going to land in New York or Chicago, depending on what happens. Cool. But also, like, take the time to be a human over the summer, you know, work a day job and
like, we have to do a day job again. Like in some, it's blitz schedule while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Michael, our company director, telling us like, you're going to be so worn down and tired, but enjoy that luxury to be so exhausted actually only doing theater because you know, when we're done here, it's about negotiating it with life.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is good and how like it's time to do that again. But, I'm going to go back to Minneapolis, be at home, do a summer show up there.
Nice.
And, then
what are you doing?
I'm going to do Hounds of Baskerville.
Oh, nice.
Fun.
A summer murder mystery romp. Awesome.
That's set in stone. You're already cast in that.
Yeah, I am.
Well, what's the theater? Talk about it. Tell us what it is.
Park Square Theater in St. Paul. Woot woot. But they're a good place I would go in high school and see shows. And it's one of these. My understanding is it's one of these sort of where there's kind of like in our apprentice show, we all have to play multiple roles. So there's like, there's Sherlock and there's Holmes and then there's three other actors who play all the different roles.
Nice. Cool. Those are my favorite.
Should be fun. Yes.
Yeah, awesome.
How about you, what's your plan?
Going to New York, doing basically the same thing everyone else is doing, really focused. I think one of the things that that other guest artists that come in here stress is creating your own work. And I think what's really cool is that we have this accessibility with all these other actors in apprenticeship and like directors and sound engineers, like all of these people that want to create their own thing. Like Emily's produced before and I don't know anything about producing. So, and she's going to be in New York and it's like, we can work together and just finding all these things.
And the networking, and the friendships and the, I mean, it's all that stuff that you will never ever stop developing. That's one thing I love about this business that we're in, that you just never stop doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or at least you shouldn't.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't. Some people do.
So we'll see you guys, and I have met those people. In the fall in an untitled piece.
Yes. Yes.
At a theater to be announced.
To be announced. It's all very hush hush.
Good. That's right. Keep that under wraps.
Yeah. Good.
Awesome. Build a buzz. Actually, I have a question in the little time we have left, because you all have different majors in university, none of which are theater except a double major in playwriting. So was this always an intention to go into acting, or did you fall into this? And why did you choose to come here?
Oh,
well, that's a lot to kind of cover.
Yeah, that was like six questions.
Well, I always loved acting and like movies, and I just loved the idea of portraying another person, another character. And when I graduated from psychology, I worked at Penn State in a psych lab.
Nice.
And I was in there in the summer, and there was a show going on, so I auditioned. And
just for the heck of it,
I was in this like place where I didn't want to go get a master's in psychology. I want to get a PhD, but I didn't want to get a master's, and because it was just so much time and money and
yeah.
and all this. So I was like, I could either go to get a master's in psychology, I mean in theater, where they might pay for your tuition and everything.
Sure.
They don't do that in psychology. So I was like, well, I'll try either. I was at a fork in the road. So sure. I tried theater to see if I could do this. This is the time I graduated, and then I did, and it went really well. It was really cool. I did King Lear. It was my first play, and it was really cool.
Oh.
And then from there on, I was like, well, I'm going to try this, and I kept going. And then my friend, Steve Broadnax, who directed Skeleton Crew here, is my mentor, because he's the head of the master's program in Penn State, was like, you need to come here, there are amazing people here. And I don't know what this place is, I didn't want to come to Louisville for 9 months. And then he was like, you have to go there. And I was like, all right.
Nice.
And then I came, and I honestly thank him almost every day, because I probably wasn't going to come if I hadn't been for him.
That's great.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Ladies,
I was one of those, like, yeah, in some senses, my English major was to serve eventually wanting to try and pursue acting. I wish I could be like, I was a bio major and I'd never thought of it at all. But no, I had definitely. and then just kind of, I loved language, and I loved classical work, did a lot of Shakespeare. I mean, okay, so I graduated, and then I spent about 2.5 years in Minneapolis doing classical work, and then a bit of devising, and then thought I wanted to do grad school like in the UK, and then in the end ended up coming to Louisville instead of London. Like, I'm like, what?
Well, and you got the first letters right.
So. There you go. It's an L.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful and have had a blast here. And it makes things like it just contextualizes you within the American theater community in a way
sure.
that I'm so excited about. And you know, you're like, oh, okay, now I have an idea of like. Moving to New York is cool. You know, and it also, it's just like, it's just a broader sensibility about how theater works in the U.S.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think I am going to college and doing the business major was kind of running away from acting. I kept, you always hear, like, if you can do anything else, like, do that. Because, you know, deciding to do this as a profession is a struggle in and of itself.
It is that.
Yeah. But I kept coming back to it throughout my time at college. Emory has an equity house on campus, which is wonderful. That's how I met Mark. And so my first year, my freshman year, I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, try out all these different things. I took a philosophy course and, like, trying to figure out what I was going to major in. And I kept coming back to that. I was like, I'm not going to audition for anything. I'm just going to, you know, I'll see the theater. And they did a production of Miss Julie and some other things. And I just kept being like, oh, man, like, oh, man, like, I still have the bug. And then so then I started auditioning and did plays throughout my time there. I spent a summer in New York at Stella Adler, and after this beautiful, like, sepia tone summer, like, in the city, where I was even, like, considering staying at one point, like, don't tell my parents, like, they were like, you can audition for, like, our grad thing or whatever, I came back to a full course of business school. That was, like, my first semester in business school, and I was like, okay. Actually, I'm really grateful that I did business school because being an actor is like you are your own business.
Yes, it is.
And I found my love for producing as well, which I'm not sure I would have done without strategic management. It's one of those things that I kind of, without being sappy, like just can't live without.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you guys for sitting up with us.
That's a great way to end the interview. Thank you all so much for getting up early on a Sunday morning.
And best of luck, guys.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Take care.
If you love The Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
All right, so that is it. I'd like to thank all our guests this week, and a special thanks to T. Quillen and Mark Cabus for being my roving, the IDS's roving reporters. Up next week is Evocation to a Visible Appearance by Mark Schultz, directed by Les Waters. Again, so that'll make our coverage continue next week for the 42nd annual Humana Festival of New America Plays, hosted by Actors Theater of Louisville. Sidebar for those that attended the festival and had anything to add to the discussion today, please do so by making a comment either on Twitter or leaving a voicemail. You can call 615-866-1282, or you can put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. And IDSers that are here in the Nashville area, still time to see Inherit the Wind at Nashville Repertory Theater. Tickets are available at nashvillerep.org. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnitude. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.